Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions along the way. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living? What do you say we get right on into it? We are hearing from the Gospel of Luke. At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now, a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up at him and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And when he came down quickly, he received him with great joy. When they all saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." The Gospel of the Lord. Wow. And what a gospel it is. There's a whole lot here. Call in the kids. It's going to be good. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things along the way here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living, and together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Today, we are considering the story of Zacchaeus. And I love this gospel. Whole lot going on. It's a deep pool. What do you say we dive right in? At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. So here we have Jesus. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And he's passing through this ancient town, Jericho, located in the Jordan Valley, today known as West Bank. Jericho is thought to be the oldest city in the world. Archaeologists have uncovered no less than 20 successive settlements on top of each other, going back 11,000 years. Can you imagine? 11,000 years. Known as the City of Palms, often referred to as the City of Perfume, due to the high concentration of balsam wood, legend had it that you could actually smell Jericho long before you arrived. A beautiful town known for its extensive gardens. Jericho was one of the three biggest trading routes in all of Israel. You had Jericho, Caesarea, Capernaum, the modern-day equivalent of New York, LA, and Miami. And like a lot of major metropolitan areas, Jericho had a bad reputation for violence and a whole lot of crime. So while it might have been a very interesting place to visit, you best watch your back. At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. So like I said, he's on his way to Jerusalem, and he knows that Calvary awaits him. In his wake, he has just healed the blind man named Bartimaeus. He's also recently raised Lazarus from the dead. So the word is out, and the crowds have swelled. They're massive. Now, in my mind's eye, this would not have been like an orderly parade, but rather total chaos. So here we have Jesus pushing his way through the crowds, disciples trying to keep the mob at bay, and a man named Zacchaeus, who's a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So here we have this man, Zacchaeus. What do we know about Zacchaeus so far? Well, we know that he is a chief tax collector. So he's not just a tax collector, which would have made him a wealthy man. He's a chief tax collector. So he's the boss of all the other tax collectors. So Zacchaeus is not a wealthy man. He is a very, very wealthy man. What else do we know about Zacchaeus? Well, we know that that name, Zacchaeus, literally means righteous and pure. So obviously, his parents had high expectations. But somewhere along the way, those expectations were shattered. Because understand, as a tax collector in Israel, he is a hated man. He is considered a traitor to Israel. Because, of course, he's working with the enemy. I'm talking about Rome. Remember, Rome is occupying this land, and they are heavily taxing the people. And they had three major taxes, starting with the census tax, which is a tax on every individual. Then they had the property tax on anybody who owned land. And finally, they had the produce tax on all traded goods. So, like I said, the tax collectors are hated. Now, the way it worked was Rome would conquer a territory, and then they would decide how much tax should come from this territory based on the population. But they wouldn't go in there and collect the taxes. No, no, no. They would put a bid out, a contract, for anyone who wanted to collect those taxes on their behalf. And whoever won the bid and was awarded the contract, they had to personally put up all the taxes for that region for a whole year themselves. Can you imagine? Must have been a huge number. But now they have the authority of Rome, which, by the way, have an army, to go out and collect all the taxes from the people. Now, here's the rub. If they should collect just a little bit extra for themselves, that's fine. Rome had its money, could care less. Consequently, there was a little wiggle room there for corruption. Actually, a lot of wiggle room for corruption. And so some of these tax collectors would just make up taxes that didn't even exist, even down to how many wheels are on your cart. So the tax collectors, like I said, they're considered dogs, scoundrels, they're pariahs. They're the lowest of the low. They're worse than lepers, and they're barred from the synagogue. Their tithes weren't even accepted. In fact, if you were with us, was it last week? I don't know. I lose track of time, but I think it was last week. We had the Pharisee and the tax collector praying in the synagogue. That guy, the tax collector, he wasn't even supposed to be there. In fact, I imagine he was probably escorted out of the synagogue shortly after his prayer. So, as hated as the tax collectors were, it's interesting because they're mentioned quite a bit throughout the Gospels. 7 times in the Gospel of Luke alone. But this Gospel today is the only time we find a chief tax collector, Zacchaeus. So what else do we know about this man? Well, we can assume that Zacchaeus must have come from a lot of money. Otherwise, he would have never been able to afford to buy the tax region of such a large metropolitan area as Jericho. So we can assume that Zacchaeus grew up in extreme privilege, probably a spoiled little rich kid. What else do we know about this man, Zacchaeus? Well, we know he is short in stature. Now, this is no small detail. I imagine he was probably bullied in school, probably overlooked literally throughout his life. And I'm thinking that maybe this might have created some anger, some resentment. And maybe that anger and resentment drove the chaos. And that drive took him all the way to the top. And now, well, now he has his revenge because now he's a pretty big deal. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. Now, I find this very curious because you got to understand, okay, everybody knows who Zacchaeus is, and he must look pretty silly climbing that sycamore tree, but he doesn't seem to care, not at all. So I have a question. What would motivate this wealthy man to climb this tree? Or even be in that crowd for that matter? Remember, I told you, Jericho is a very dangerous place. Murder and robbery are commonplace. Remember the Good Samaritan? That took place on the road to Jericho. So Zacchaeus is very much putting himself in danger by just being in this crowd. But he's there. And as we noted, he's short in stature, so he can't see Jesus through the crowd. And I'm quite sure nobody's stepping aside to let him through. But of course, Zacchaeus, he's probably used to that. He's had limitations his whole life. And now he's prevented from seeing Jesus because of the crowds. And let me just stop here for a second and make a note. It is often other people that get in the way of us truly seeing Jesus for who he is. But back to Zacchaeus, he's blocked out. But he's been there before. He's used to obstacles. And he's motivated. But again, what is that motivation? What caused Zacchaeus to climb that tree? Well, I don't know. I mean, I can't say for sure, but we can certainly speculate. I'm sure he had heard all about Jesus. Remember now, he's the chief tax collector. That means he knows all the other tax collectors. So I'm sure he's heard about how Jesus had eaten with the tax collectors over the objections of the Pharisees, by the way. I'm sure he had heard all about how Matthew, which is one of his fellow tax collectors, had become one of his disciples. I'm sure he heard all about how Levi had just walked away from his post to follow Jesus. So I imagine he was curious. He definitely knew who he was. But was that it? Was that all who motivated, all that motivated Zacchaeus to climb that tree? Was it just curiosity? Well, you know, I'm thinking that's part of it. But my guess is that it ran a bit deeper than that, my friends. And we've talked about this a time or two before. But I think what motivated Zacchaeus to climb the tree that day, in large part, was what we call the existential dilemma, expressed by King Solomon in Ecclesiastes. This dilemma continues to baffle mankind to this day, the existential dilemma. It's when you've worked hard your whole life chasing the carrot and you have won the game of life. You've got everything that anybody could ever want. And you're looking around going, is this it? Is this it? I have everything that this world has to offer, yet I still feel empty. What's it all about, Alfie? This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. And we will continue to talk about this gospel with Zacchaeus here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, we were talking all about Zacchaeus and how he has climbed this tree to see Jesus pass by. And we were talking about what could have possibly motivated him to do such a thing. Now, I had suggested that possibly it was, despite his material success, and he had a lot of it, he felt empty. Maybe he felt separated from God. He knew the crowds hated him. Maybe God hated him too. He was considered a traitor to Israel, and the thought of God probably scared him. Remember the tax collector in the synagogue? What did he say? This was last week, I think. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. What motivated that prayer? I'll tell you what motivated that prayer. Fear motivated that prayer. And who knows? And we're just talking here. I don't know. Okay, but maybe that tax collector last week was Zacchaeus. Just saying. And maybe that fear is what caused Zacchaeus to climb that tree that day. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house. Wow, what a shock. I imagine Zacchaeus was thinking, he knows me. He knows my name. He sees right through me. He sees the good, he sees the bad, he sees the ugly, and he's still smiling. And something in that moment happened. And all that fear, all that anxiety, it just melted like snow. And he came down quickly and received him with joy. Did he hesitate? No, not at all. Was he concerned about the crowd and what everybody would think? No, no, not at all. He had been hiding in his tree of shame, hiding in his tree of guilt, hiding in his tree of fear. And he leaves it all behind to come down quickly and received him with joy. And you know, I think we all got a little Zacchaeus in us. But do we come down quickly and receive him with joy? Or do we hesitate? Today, I must stay at your house. Many of us have had our today experience. You know, that moment when Jesus put his finger on our heart and said, I know who you are and I am. Happens in countless ways. But how do we react? As Jesus looks right through Zacchaeus, as he looks through us, he sees everything, warts and all, and he loves him anyway. When they all saw this, they began to grumble, saying, he's gone to stay at the house of a sinner. How quickly the crowd will turn, my friends. Just a short while ago, he had healed the blind man Bartimaeus. He had raised Lazarus from the dead. And they're all like, oh my Yahweh, it's Yahweh. But now they're grumbling. And isn't that our world? We love to grumble. We love to judge. Jesus was supposed to be the Messiah, on his way to Jerusalem to take up his throne. Now he's gone to stay at the house of a sinner. He's gone to abide with Zacchaeus. And I just have to say in passing, if not being a sinner was a prerequisite to hanging out with Jesus, who could abide with Jesus? I'll tell you who. Nobody. Because my friends, we are all sinners. We are all broken pots of clay. But boy, don't we love to compare our sins. Somehow, if we can point out how lost somebody else is, well, then we feel less lost. This is why shows like Hoarders are so popular. You watch that show, you can think, well, my house isn't that bad. It's just in us. Somehow we believe if we find a sinner worse than us, then we look better in the eyes of God. And yet God's law is very clear. The wages of sin is death. period. Doesn't say how many sins. Doesn't say what kind of sins. But let's get back to this. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half my possessions I shall give to the poor, and if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." Now, this is very interesting, because I've been listening to this gospel my whole life growing up in church. I've heard this must a thousand times. And I've always kind of looked at this moment as the moment where Zacchaeus found religion. You know, the moment that Zacchaeus, you know, he was doing bad things, but now he's deciding he's going to fly straight. But, you know, scripture scholars will disagree. They will say that actually this is a very poor translation, because it seems to suggest that this is something that Zacchaeus is going to do. But if you go to the oldest manuscripts, it's not a future tense thing. It's a present tense thing. So it's not "I shall," but rather "I am." This is what I'm doing. I'm giving half of my earnings to the poor. And if I should happen to defraud somebody, I pay him back fourfold. Which, let me tell you, that changes the story a whole lot. Because if that's the case, Zacchaeus is a good practicing Jew. And the hate against him is unjustified, because nowhere in the scripture does it say that it is evil to be a tax collector. If so, why would Jesus pick one to be one of his first disciples? But getting back to Zacchaeus, what motivated him to climb that tree that day? We had suggested the existential dilemma, you know, that emptiness that comes when we realize that everything this world has to offer does not satisfy. We talked about fear, fear of the Lord, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." But there's something else. I believe there's something else that Zacchaeus had. Paul calls it godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation, but worldly sorrow brings death." So, godly sorrow, worldly sorrow. What are they? Well, let's start with worldly sorrow. Worldly sorrow is when we feel like we don't have enough and we need more. My house isn't big enough. My car isn't nice enough. My bank account isn't big enough. My husband or my wife isn't making me happy. I mean, there are literally thousands of variations of worldly sorrow. But the one thing they all have in common is that they are all consuming. And according to Paul, at least, they lead to destruction. So that is worldly sorrow. What is godly sorrow? Well, godly sorrow is when you think about God, and then you think about yourself, and your head drops in shame, because you know there's nothing you've done, and there's nothing that you can do that is going to undo your sinful nature. Nothing. Consequently, we feel very separated from God. And again, Paul writes that this, you know, godly sorrow leads to repentance. And I believe that that is also what motivated Zacchaeus to climb the tree. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house. For this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." Jesus called Zacchaeus down from a tree, and in a short time, he's going to ascend another tree to save Zacchaeus from himself. Because when Jesus looked right through Zacchaeus, as he looks right through you and I, he saw him for who he was, from beginning to end. He saw the beauty, he saw the horror, and despite the imperfection, loved him. loved him enough to ascend the tree that was waiting for him. And when he said, salvation has come to this house, what he was saying, in effect, is, I love you enough to suffer for you. I love you enough to die for you. My friends, this week I challenge you. Find a cross. And as you look upon that cross, meditate on it. Go eye to eye with that cross. And whatever tree you find yourself hiding in today, come down quickly and receive him with joy. Yes, my friends, come down quickly and receive him with joy. What tree are you hiding in today? Come down off that tree. Stop hiding. Leave your anxieties. Leave your fear, your anger, your judgment, your disappointment. Come down and receive him with joy. And as far as what you can do, express your gratitude in your giving. Express your gratitude in your kind words to others. Express your gratitude in your willingness to put resentments to rest. Jesus knows exactly who you are. He sees right through you, all the good, all the bad, all the ugly, all the real ugly, warts and all. And guess what? He loves you anyway. So climb down from your tree and receive him with joy. For today, he must stay at your house. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin, and remember, if you don't have faith, you don't have a prayer. Hope you can come back next week, and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life, and I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.